Soul 1625.
This is the Business of Sport from the Economic Times.
Cricket is a gentleman's game. Bend the gender and see how our girls can take guard, jump, dive, hook, throw, cut, slide, flick, pull, square drive, sweep, bowl, bat, and field, and do everything that our men in blue can.
That is a magnificent effort by Harmanpreet. It's only the 15th score of 150 of all time.
And there's a century for the skipper. Harmanpreet Kaur craved this job. And since taking it over, she's been quite outstanding.
Renuka Thakur, aapke kya kehne? Australiai batters ke paas koi jawab nahi hai inki kala ka.
Ek match winning performance de rahi hai yahan pe. 4 wicket gira chuki hai Australia ki.
Oh, now there's the one day of the T20 Shefali Verma coming exploding out. Not the prettiest shot. It's productive though, 4 runs.
That's it. History. The first champions of the inaugural ICC Under-19 Women's T20 World Cup. The first time in their history, India are champions at any Women's World Cup.
So why are you then surprised if India's top corporates, Reliance, Adani, JSW, GMR, Diageo, and even Capri Global jostled with others to bag the 5 franchises for the inaugural edition of the Women's Premier League late last month?
The Adani Group has won the bid for the Ahmedabad franchise, and for that, Adani Group has paid a massive 1,289 crore rupees. The 4 other teams with big bids were the Mumbai Indians, and the Mumbai Indians have paid more than 912 crore rupees. The Royal Challengers Bangalore have paid 901 crore rupees. JSW Sports, who bid for Delhi Capitals, have paid 810 crore rupees, and Capri Global, and they've been bidding for the Lucknow franchise, have bid 757 crore rupees. So big money going out at that particular auction.
1,500 players are coming under the hammer next week. Over 4,500 crore rupees franchises have paid for their teams. Women's Premier League, or WPL in short, is the second biggest T20 league in the whole world, behind the IPL. Yes, that's the kind of monies we are talking about. Now let's get a quick lowdown from a franchise boss how he is looking at the whole maths.
Indian investors paid a combined around $572 million for these 5 teams. Yep. And exactly 15 years and a day after, BCCI fetched a total of around $724 million in a bid for 8-side men's tournament, which became a money spinner. Now you compare contrast with maybe a 12 women's National Basketball Association in US, which has been running for last 26 years, and it is valued around $1 billion last Feb. And now with the title sponsorship right up in the market for women's Premier League and official sponsor also to be determined, I think so I estimate this to be around $690 million overall put together.
From the Economic Times, I'm your host Arijit Barman, and you're listening to Women's IPL, a league of their own. And this is the business of sports. In this episode, Karan Ravishankar and I speak to a CEO of a franchise and 2 brand executives who are deeply involved with women's sports and, of course, WPL, to understand what lies beyond the inclusive agenda. What's the path to monetization? When is break-even likely? Will audiences flock to the grounds and watch the match? Or will OTTs bring the matches closer to home? Which brands will or should break the bank? How fast will merchandising and player engagements woo the woman to start watching, spending, and loving the game? It is, after all, a league of their own, as we are calling it.
Royal Challengers from Bangalore who won the toss and they've decided to bat first.
Okay, here's another 50 from Virat Kohli.
Once again, Mr. 360. Oh, yes, it's gone all the way.
Oh, that's gone for six. That is a monster from Gale. Another one. Yes. A 5-wicket haul for Wanindu Hasaranga.
6 months prior to the actual bidding, Rajesh Menon, head of Royal Challengers Bangalore, has been plotting with his core team and a female scout, possibly the only franchise to have one, about their team strategy for what was staring ahead of them. But they already have a successful men's team. Why spread themselves and bid for a woman's franchise then?
So if you look at RCB, which is Royal Challengers Bangalore, is an 100% subsidiary of Diageo India. If you see Diageo's profile, 42% of company's senior leadership positions are held by women. Six out of this company's 14 executive committee members are women, including our global chief financial officer. And now cut to RCB per se. RCB men's team is the only franchise which has 22% of its support staff as women. We were the first in the ecosystem to have a female scout also. This was done 6 months earlier. So we have been keeping our eyes and ears closer to the ground and understanding the potential of women's players across India. And also, we believe that most inclusive and diverse culture makes for a better business and a better world. True. And it is critical for us as a business. And owning a IPL team was a natural progression. Exactly the reason why we didn't invest in any other league across the world and waited for this opportunity to invest into the Women's Premier League. But we all knew it is coming. And it is better to be prepared when we have a clear view saying that we need to own a team. We worked ahead and did all this much in advance.
Do you really believe that, you know, the Women's Premier League will be able to find its footing fast enough, considering the success, the commercial success, will be clearly determined by the ability to engage with fans, attract investments, generate revenue, and establish itself as a major player in the world of women's cricket?
Absolutely. See, if you pull back and see this, even before a ball had been bowled, the Women's Premier League has touched record numbers. Indian investors bid a combined around $572 million for these five teams. Yeah. And exactly 15 years and a day after BCCI fetched a total of around $724 million in a bid for 8-side men's tournament, which became a money spinner. And now with the title sponsorship right up in the market for Women's Premier League and official sponsor also to be determined, I think I estimate this to be around $690 million overall put together. When you compare to a Women's Premier League and a men's for a foreign sponsor stroke advertiser, the entry barrier will be much lesser. And thus, it will be easier for brands to come and not only to participate in at a sponsor, but also take that high ground and have their campaigns around it, especially the women-centric brand. And there are enough studies to establish that women are much likely to favor a brand that sponsors a women's professional sports than a brand that partner with men.
But it's also, I mean, imperative that the franchises start generating revenues as early as 3 to 5 years. I don't want to compare all the time with men's, but revenue generation, monetization is critical for the survival and the sustainability of a franchise, which could be from gate receipts, broadcasting rights, sponsorships. So how bullish are you on these aspects? How do you monetize your franchise?
See, if you're starting a league, it all starts with the interest in the product. If there's no interest in the product, then it's questionable.
Yeah.
Now you pull back and see, Hotstar viewership peaked at around 1.1 million during the India versus Australia women's game. The highest for a women's game in this year. That is a brilliant benchmark. 47,000 spectators packed Devi Patil. The highest turnout for a women's cricket match in India.
Wow.
So when you put this in perspective, so there is appetite for this product. The quantum will be smaller when you compare to that. It will take time to reach that level. But I don't see any difference in the math, the percentage going in. And we believe that at this current trajectory and the investment which we have gone in, by end of next media rights cycle, we will be able to break even So our math says.
Okay.
So I don't think it is from a business point of view. It's a completely wrong math there, but the interest of this product is good in market and from a consumer point of view, and we see this only growing. And gate receipt, okay. If you see next couple of years, it will be managed by BCCI.
You're right.
So we will get some gate receipt going, but it is at the end of the day, it is the media rights and followed by the sponsorship, it will be the biggest revenue generator.
What about events, merchandising? Because they are also avenues to actually engage with fans, bring in that brand loyalty, the brand equity. How do you plan to maximize those engagements?
Arjit, RCB's male to female audience profile split is 54-46. And slightly more female fan versus the tournament average. So also RCB ranks highest among all 10 teams on female propensity to engage with the brand when plotted against followers in millions and percentage of female fans across. So we have that edge. The reason is because people perceive RCB as a lifestyle brand with all what we
right.
do. And
right.
hence, if you see 54-46% male to female, it's good. Right. It's brilliant. So we are there. It is not skewed saying that female audience or fans doesn't follow cricket or RCB. They do. And our digital assets are second to none. RCB has almost 30 million highly engaged fans across our social network, digital assets. And have maintained its leadership proposition across IPL. And in last 3 years, we are in the global recurring. Having said that, merchandising comes later. Merchandising is not a critical enabler. The enabler is this. Performance and the platform to leave from there. And we have the platform. We need to create the performance. And then we have the product. Merchandise and other things will come, which will enabler, but not a key enabler.
Now, you know, this obviously a property like this helps to raise the profile of the game per se and provides also a platform for female cricketers to showcase their skills and talent. This has a bigger implication. It helps in turn to increase visibility and recognition of women's sport per se, creates new role models for girls and young women who are interested in sport. All of this eventually breaks down to gender barriers and norms, making a more inclusive society. Don't you think it's high time we have equal pay in the league as well?
No, absolutely, absolutely. See, even the men's IPL took time. In 15 years, it has reached this stage where the pay is around 90 CR for the entire team. So this will take time. And as I mentioned, it's category building. Currently, we need to establish the category. We can't kill the golden goose before even it is there. So we need to build that. I feel eventually we will reach there. So the commerce should also work. So everybody should put their shoulder together to get the product right and the mix right. And I feel eventually we'll reach there in terms of the men's pay and women's pay being equal.
But do you feel at a social level that something like this, a property like the Women's Premier League will have a far bigger implication to break gender barriers in India? And this is just the beginning.
It will. And that is our endeavor. If you recollect, Arjit, maybe 3 years back, it was us, RCB, who wanted to play a mixed gender game, a game between men's cricketers of RCB and women cricketers. So we strongly feel this Women's Premier League will break a lot of glass ceilings, glass ceilings. And also what happens is, as we discussed earlier, this will also inspire parents to send their kid for a sport, for any sport for that matter, because it is viable as a career. But that is critical. Because as long as it is not viable as a career, then the different strata of the society may not participate. If it is viable as a career, then all the strata of the society will participate in that. So that is what we are aiming for. And I think so, we will be able to do that.
Still, let's be honest. For the average Joe, cricket is all about the boys. When Sony was the IPL broadcaster, the percentage of women watching was hovering between 27 to 30%. But today, as Rajesh said, over 1 million was the peak viewership on the OTT platform when India was playing Australia recently at the D.Y. Patil Stadium. Close to 45,000 were on the ground. So there is indeed a stirring. But all this takes time, effort, and a massive mindset shift to sustain. So when sports and footwear giant Puma launched their latest Twitter campaign of a cricketer taking guard and asked people to guess the identity of their newest brand ambassador, a lion's share of the responses named male cricketers, including Surya Kumar Yadav. Even though Yadav, I don't think, have played over 100 T20 matches with a similar strike rate.
India in big, big trouble now. Next on the crease with an experience of over 100 T20 matches and a strike rate of over 100. One of the most destructive cricketers of our generation.
Shubham Gill,
R. Rahul, Rohit Sharma,
Hardik Pandya,
Julian Goswami,
then maybe Saurav Ganguly.
It could be Rohit Sharma,
Rishabh Pant,
Mahendra Singh Dhoni,
Hardik Pandya,
Ravindra Jadeja,
Hardik Pandya.
So much for the fanatics, really. 2 days of teaser campaigns, and then Puma announced the identity of the star and followed it up with a tie-up with Harmanpreet Kaur, India's all-format women's cricket captain.
She goes aerial, and that's a six. She might just have threaded the gap here. Yes, that's four welcome runs. First boundary for Kaur. This is the best of Harmanpreet Kaur, and look at the bowler under pressure. That's powerfully struck, and that's going to be four. That's a hallmark of Harmanpreet Kaur, the sweep shot.
So we asked Shreya Sachdev, head of marketing Puma India, why is she still betting for the girls?
So I think whether it's India or whether it's globally, I think Puma as a brand has never really seen gender as something to consider when they look at sports people. Whenever we've onboarded any athlete, it's just simply and purely been about their merit. We are very actively involved with partners that take this mandate of women in sports as seriously as we do. So, for example, globally, the Man City team has focused a lot and continues to focus a lot on their project of women in sports, women in football, and we are active partners for them there as well. India, again, I think as of now, we work with about 150 athletes across sports, and it's almost an equal gender split, right? We're about 50% are women. That we work with, right? So I think for us, while the conversation around women in sports and how we need to give them their due is slowly but surely picking up, especially in India, I think this is something that we have kept in mind and focused on from the very beginning. If their journey inspires us, we would like to partner with them and, you know, be a part of their journey.
How does a brand like Puma monetize a property like the Women's Premier League?
So look, my assumption is that starting this year, viewership will only increase year on year, and brands that are smart enough to get on the ground foot will actually benefit from this, right? When we auctioned off the men's teams, we are so close to that number with women's teams, right? I only expect that the reason why teams have spent so much is because they understand and they realize the potential that a property like Women's Premier League could have, right? I only see increasing value for brands. Of course, how you monetize this space completely depends on your brand strategy. Some people monetize the IP and really win. Some people pump in money and are not able to gain ROI on it. And the same would apply here, right? But I imagine that this as a property is something that is still in a nascent stage, and people would be foolish to not think about this as a viable marketing strategy to add to their advertising mix of brands.
And to quote IPL language, Puma wants to hit a maximum when it comes to the Women's Premier League in terms of more endorsement, more tie-ups, jersey tie-ups, etc., etc.
So I think, you know, as of now, we can't really say anything. I do hope that we can have this conversation again in a few months. Though I will say that we are hoping that the players that we do sponsor get options into the best possible teams, and this sets them up really well. And our investment in women cricketers is not going to stop with or without the IPL, right? So that is something that will continue through the year. So from that standpoint, you will definitely see Puma boots on the pitch.
Now, tell me one thing. I mean, you talked about brands, have to be smart when it comes to capitalizing on this property. Do you expect women-centric brands to come in now, or gender should not really be a big issue out here? Because people would say, oh, men's IPL, you have bike ads, car ads, financial services ads. You know, there's a very stereotypical list. And similarly, women's properties, therefore beauty ads, FMCG, and other, consumer staples, etc., etc. How do you think that will evolve?
Look, from whatever research we've seen in this space, I think if anybody who watches men's cricket, that is the largest percentage that also watches women's cricket, which in this case is men, right? So the data right now says that the viewership is actually more skewed towards men than it is to women, right? So if that is the strategy that a brand is adopting, where they're saying, I will sell women-specific products because it's women's IPL, I see that as a huge loss opportunity to monetize men's products as well, right? I think very clearly that women's IPL is not just for women viewers and women fans, right? And I think there is more than enough data to sort of prove that. So at least according to me, that should not be the strategy that any brand should take. This is as relevant to a male audience as the men's IPL is.
I'm sure you were doing projections, because this is not a short-term investment. Now, therefore, as a brand making that investment, what is the outlook for the next few years on variables like viewership, where it goes from year two, year three, break-even points, etc.? Because at the end of the day, it's also, as we're calling it, it's the business of sport. It's the business aspect of the women's IPL.
Look, I think for us as a sports brand, when we view, deals like we have done with the RCB or even the athletes that we onboard, I think they're A, always long-term. Second, I think as a sports brand, for us, visibility is as important as credibility, right? A lot of these are also credibility builders. It's at the end of the day, we are a sports brand and we need to partner with entities and athletes that reflect our investment in the space, right? So all of these deals and the deals that we will make in the future will continue to have a long-term focus. This is not about short-term revenue. This is not about short-term sales. This is about brand building per se, right? And of course, yes, there is a direct and a halo impact on revenue that you will always see. But as a sports brand, it's very different for us as compared to a lot of other brands, which may look at this as a pure play commercial opportunity, right? For us, it's much, much bigger than that.
Right. You talked about we're going to see more Puma boots all across nationwide. So this is not really a one-off engagement, because people forget that for a sport or for a property to flourish, you need year-round engagement. You need to go back to the grassroots and actually catch them young and watch them grow.
You are absolutely right, and which is why none of our deals are short-term. If we're investing in an athlete, we're part of their journey, right? We're helping them grow. We're supporting them to get to the pinnacle of their career. And so I would never go on a one-off and tell an athlete, hey, we're here for you for the Women's Premier League or the Women's World Cup, and then we're done, right? That's not the way it works for us, right? You would say, I'm here to invest in your career and I'm here to help you grow, right? So my job is to actually give you that platform, the way we did with Harmanpreet. Right? Her achievements aren't her own. They're not ours. But we wanted to create the platform to be able to talk about them and celebrate them, right? That is the role that we want to play. And that is the role that we want to play with all of our athletes, irrespective of gender, right? Where your achievements are your own, you tell us how we can support in your journey. And we would love to be the platform that actually celebrates and talks about your achievements and gets you the kind of visibility and the credit that you deserve, right? So has been and always will be a long-term partnership as opposed to a short-term commercial objective.
Global payments and technology multinational MasterCard has always been a master blaster when it comes to cricket. Late last year, they were selected as BCCI's title sponsors for all international matches at home as well as the domestic tournaments.
जब माँ घर के साथ साथ तुम्हारे पैशन को भी चलाती रहे, जब कोच दिन रात एक कर दे तुम्हें तुम्हारे पोटेंशियल से मिलाने के लिए, जब भाई अपना क्रिकेट करियर सैक्रिफाइस करे तुम्हें तुम्हारी मंजिल तक पहुंचाने के लिए, तो हर बॉल को उसके अंजाम तक पहुंचाने का जुनून चढ़ ही जाता है। जहां क्रिकेटर बनने के लिए दुगना एफर्ट लगता है, वहां ग्राउंड पे डबल जज्बा दिखता है। ये इंडिया की विमेंस क्रिकेट टीम है, इनको हल्के में मत लो।
करण रविशंकर caught up with Manasi Narasimhan, Vice President and Head Marketing South Asia at MasterCard, to get a sense of the company's sporting DNA.
All of us being in India, you managing the Indian market, could we understand more of MasterCard's role with BCCI, the partnership, the nature of it, and the viability of partnership like this for your organization?
So just to step back a bit before I come to the details of the BCCI sponsorship, I think MasterCard worldwide, many people know our advertising tagline, which is priceless, but it's much more than an advertising tagline. It's really about the brand ethos or the brand philosophy. To cut a long story short, we believe in connecting people to their passion areas. So as a brand, we invest very heavily in sponsorships worldwide. Sports is a very, very big area of collaboration. So when you look at it in that context, obviously the biggest passion area bordering on religion and mania in India is obviously cricket. So for MasterCard, there was no better way of demonstrating that than to sign up with the BCCI. And our sponsorship with them is a six-month endeavor. It covers all home cricket matches that the BCCI organizes, which is really the senior men's team, the senior women's team, junior, that is the under-19, under-23 teams, and all domestic first-class cricket, which is the Ranji Trophy, the Duleep Trophy, etc. So that's the extent of the sponsorship. And it's really something that's resonated with consumers all across, which we kind of expected cricket to do. So that's really been what it is.
So what is your outlook on the women's game with cricket, considering you guys are closely involved with them, on the international team, if at all? So what is your outlook on the sport? Do you see a lot of that market opening up and generating a lot of fan engagement? And do you see yourself sort of as a layer within that, being able to leverage your brand?
Absolutely. And again, I'd sort of start with saying, where is the world headed, both as a marketeer and as a woman? It's very, very heartening to see the rise of or the emergence of women's sports all over the world. And why not? Cricket was a very live manifestation of it. These women have worked insanely hard to get to where they've come. And to top it all, I mean, all of us know this as Indians. Unfortunately, except for the extremely affluent section of society, there is an inherent bias against women, right? And especially women's playing sports is like, yeah, you're going against the sort of conventional notion of an Indian woman. And then when we looked at it, we were like, these women play an incredible game of cricket, right? If you're cheering for the men's team and you're cheering for the sixes and the fours that they hit, the spectacular catches that they take. And I don't think any catch has been more spectacular than the one that Harleen Deol took, which is kind of legendary, right, at the boundary. And that's why when we looked at what we could do with, women's cricket as part of our BCCI deal, our entire creative approach was not a sympathy story. Okay, our entire focus was, don't take them lightly, because just look at what a stunning game of cricket they play. So we kind of turned it on its head and said, the campaign tagline was, halke mein mat lo, don't take them lightly, because of what they've done to get to where they are, right? And we partnered very closely with the BCCI on this, because the BCCI, the government, is actively encouraging women's sports. And their idea was, why not encourage people to watch these women, both at the stadiums and, you know, through broadcast media? Because as a performer, I mean, I would imagine what is very enthralling to them is when you're playing to full crowds, right? And when their male counterparts are doing it, why not? So the entire campaign was around this halke mein mat lo, extensive partnership with the BCCI. And I'm pleased to say that it did very, very well, to the point where D.Y. Patil Stadium in Mumbai, which is a 55,000 capacity stadium, was actually sold out for one of the India-Australia women's matches.
One quick thing in terms of is it counterintuitive that we constantly label the women's sport the women's sport rather than just calling it cricket?
It is. And eventually, I think the measure of success will be when people don't distinguish at all. So like, I'm actually really hopeful of a time where, and because we're talking about cricket, a time where the BCCI puts out saying, here are, you know, 10 matches, 5 are played by men, 5 are played for women. And the demand is equally the same across. That to me would be the gold standard when people don't say, oh, they are women and therefore we need to watch. No organization can support women because they are women over an extended period of time. Yes, there's a need. There's a need to sort of put more ammunition behind it. But over time, it has to be because they stand on their own merit. And the point is to get them there. Go to support women because it makes monetary sense to do so. That is the shift that I'm really looking forward to see.
That's a double-edged question I want to ask you. MasterCard is not involved in any way or form right now with the women's IPL, as we call it, the WIPL. But MasterCard is involved with tennis as well as rugby that you told me before we had started. So could you give us the nature of these associations just to understand and how we could potentially, maybe in some years to come, see that in the WIPL?
So as I said, I can't comment on what we are likely to do or what we will do in the future in India. Now, cricket, as you'll appreciate, is probably a sport that's played in 15 countries around the world, right? Essentially the Commonwealth. But what it means to India obviously has to be seen to be believed. And if that's the right thing to do and works for this market, then we will invest, okay? Tennis is kind of a slightly more global sport, as you will. But again, in markets like Australia, we support the Australian Open, we have sponsors. We have sponsors of the French Open. So again, we kind of cater to local passions. Rugby is again a sport that's played only in a very few countries. But again, where it's played, it's incredibly, you know, major, like Australia, New Zealand. Very surprisingly, even Sri Lanka, which is also a market I handle, rugby is surprisingly popular. Therefore, we work on sponsorships and stuff there. And the nature of our engagement as much as possible is about integrating. See, we never as a brand take sponsorships just to get our logo there. But our entire endeavor on sponsorship is for people to experience the asset, right? So in many of our sponsorships, we create priceless experiences. Like in the Australian Open, because it just recently happened, we get consumers to go, you know, behind the scenes at the, you know, in the Rod Laver Arena. So that's not an experience that's open to the public. So it doesn't matter how much money you have. MasterCard enables something that's otherwise not accessible. The whole idea is it's a very conscious and a strategic shift from storytelling, which is advertising. And again, it's not that advertising is bad or we don't do it. We have done it. I have done it myself in India. But I think the focus is on story making. Let people live their experiences and then, you know, let's let them talk about it. So that's really something. And there are a few more things that you will see coming out, even with the BCCI. As you know, we have MS Dhoni as one of our brand ambassadors. So Dhoni is doing a cricket clinic for aspiring girl cricketers, which is actually happening this Sunday in Mumbai. But the starting point is what works for the cardholder. If cricket works in India, which it certainly does, it does not matter that cricket is not played in 180 countries around the world. I think it's really about what works for the market, and we do that.
Some would insist women's cricket in India is a classic innings of being so close yet so far. True, at the big global stage, we have gone to the finals and lost. It's also true the Aussies and the English have tougher mental temperament that fires up that extra killer instinct when it matters the most. But hey, our boys were like that too, till recently, no? If the biggest sporting carnival made many young men from humble backgrounds think of taking up cricket as a career, the recent under-19 win and the WPL may also be that catalyst one needs to take the game to where it belongs, to the people and to the fans. Remember, a commentator called Mandira Bedi, she broke many a glass ceiling and showed the boys a thing or two. So brace up for the girls and a hell of a lot cricketing action.
She gets a full toss. She's out! India win! The streak is over!
That's a wrap on this episode, which we are calling Women's IPL, a league of their own. We hope you enjoyed listening. Thank you, Manasi, Shreya and Rajas. Deeply appreciate you sharing your perspective. Please do like, share on social media and spread the cheer among friends, colleagues, mates and fellow fans. A big shout out to our producer, Vinay Joshi, audio engineer, Indraneel Bhattacharya, and my partners in crime, Karan Ravishankar and Uday Jhala. The Business of Sports is available on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, JioSaavn, ET's website, and ET Play. The one-stop destination for ET's all audio programming, including The Business of Sports. We will be back same time next week with more action on and off the field on The Business of Sports. Till then, this is Arijit Barman signing off. Goodbye and good luck.
All clips used in this episode belong to their respective owners. Credits mentioned in the description.